Blog Talk Radio.
Show today. Big events this weekend: Coca-Cola 600, Indy 500, Memorial Day 1100. We were hoping to have former Indy driver Richie Hearn on the show. He just let me know about 15 minutes ago that he couldn't come on. But we'll get him on in the future. Maybe I could pre-tape something. And he texted me a half hour ago. I think I could have got something ready. But you know how that goes. Sometimes things just don't follow the plan. Anyway, joining us today will be Mike Lewis, Communications Manager for Dover International Speedway, or Dover Motorsports Center. So it's following the Coke 600. NASCAR will be heading to the Monster Mile for a triple header weekend. You'll have the Truck Series on Friday the 2nd. You'll have the Xfinity Series Saturday the 3rd, and culminating with the AAA 400 Drive for Autism 400 on Sunday, weather permitting, of course, on everything. June in Dover can be a little tricky, but anyway, if you want to get tickets, call 1-800-441-RACE or go to doverspeedway.com. You can get all your tickets online. I think I see some stuff kicking around there that you can still get. Anyway, we'll be joined by him at the bottom of the hour. So let's get to the weekend's events. Indy qualifying was held. Scott Dixon wins the pole with a four-lap average speed of 232 miles per hour. Now, that's not the fastest of all time. That was about 236 miles an hour set back in the old kart days when they ran a whole hell of a lot more horsepower with turbochargers and things like that. So this is the fastest time in the last, I don't know how many years. Sad note on that, Sebastian Bourdais had a wild crash while trying to qualify and broke a few ribs, some bones, and had to have surgery, but he's okay because he was thanking everybody for all the well wishes and prayers and things. So he's going to be banged up, will not make the race. He's a better man than I am, but I don't think the doctors would let him do that. So just a weird thing when in the car, you know, when you get banged up and stuff like that. I figure those cars are carbon fiber composites, and basically not much bigger than a bathtub. So we'll get to see what happens at 11 a.m. on Sunday when the biggest event in motorsports, sorry NASCAR fans, it's not the Daytona 500. It is the Indianapolis 500. 101st running. When you come down to it, that's the one trophy that, as a race car driver, you want to have in your case if you're an IndyCar driver, is the Indianapolis 500. And actually, it's not just IndyCar drivers. NASCAR drivers have attempted it as well. I think out of all the NASCAR drivers that competed in the Indy 500, as well as the Coca-Cola 600, Kurt Busch might be the only true, pure NASCAR driver that has done it, because Tony Stewart made the jump from the Indy Racing League over to NASCAR and then went back and did it. John Andretti, of course, I think was the first one to do it. He was an IndyCar driver as well. Robbie Gordon, he drove everything anyway, so. But he was an IndyCar before he came to NASCAR, and then he left NASCAR and went back to some off-road stuff. Who else? Yeah, I think that's about it. So it would leave Kurt Busch as the only NASCAR driver that went to drive the Indy 500 and started out in NASCAR. Everybody else was an IndyCar first before they made the change over. Not knocking Tony Stewart. He's won championships and everything he's run. Yes, he does have an IndyCar championship under his belt back in the Indy Racing League days, if y'all don't remember. Originally, the Indy 500 was sanctioned by USAC, and then it moved on to, some people didn't like that, so they went and formed championship auto racing teams. Then it got to be basically a road course series with a couple of ovals thrown in, Michigan Indy, of course Indy, getting not run Indy, and a few others. And then Tony George, president of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and decided to branch off and form the Indy Racing League, which was basically a series mainly on ovals with a couple of road courses, kind of along the models of the NASCAR Monster Energy Cup series. You know, run 90% of your races on oval, and then maybe the last 10% on a road course. Prompted a lot of your drivers coming through, like Sam Hornish Jr., Tony Stewart, got his there, and trying to think of a few others that have made the journey. Then the kart guys did not want to be out of the Indy 500, so they were allowed to enter, kind of like, you know, it is now and was before, and you could enter as long as you wanted to use one of the cars that were authorized, in the IRL grade car, and of course, you know, Penske and Ganassi. They got their way in, they got some drivers in, Al Unser Jr. to name one, and, you know, Penske had his guys from there, Ganassi with Scotty Dix, and then they all started doing that. And after a while, I guess more and more wanted to come in. So what happened is then the kart fizzled out. What was left of the teams wanted to go to IndyCar. They found a way to get Tony George out. So now they started adding, changing the racing structure from ovals back to the road courses. Now it's called the IndyCar League. Of course, they have their own minor league series, Indy Lights. But anyway, you have today in surviving through all of that was the race itself, the Indianapolis 500. So uh, 101 years, you can't complain of how well it's done. It sells out. I mean, you're talking a 2.5 mile rectangular track, grandstands on both sides of the front straightaway. Figure you have four straightaways, four distinct corners. I mean, it's a unique track in itself. I mean, I know NASCAR people think that, you know, with all the ovals, with, you know, even the bigger ones like Michigan and, of course, Daytona, Talladega, Fontana, and your smaller 1.5 miles that are all shaped kind of the same. I'm leaving out your Dovers and your New Hampshires and those kind of tracks there, which are not your typical thing, but Pocono is probably the only different shaped NASCAR track, which actually did host IndyCar and has hosted it, brought it back. So, that being said, Pocono was designed with three different corners for three different tracks in mind. Milwaukee Mile was one, Indianapolis 500. The Indianapolis Motor Speedway was another, and I forget the third one. But that's why they call it the Tricky Triangle. Three different corners, three different lengths of, and widths of straightaway. Makes for a unique experience. But IndyCar did run there and did return there. Had a little falling out. The Indy sanctioning body complained about the track surface, and, you know, after a while, tracks wear out, you got to redo it. When Dr. Mattioli passed away and the reins was taken over by his grandkids, and they rearranged it. They shortened the NASCAR races from 500 to 400, which, in a kind of a way, is the thing. I remember when Dover used to run 500 to be on asphalt. I went there then. But anyway, Indy 500 coming up. The Indy used to be called the Indy of the East when they booked, when they used to run the Indy 500 at Pocono. That was one of the two tracks I was closest to, that in the Monster Mile at Dover, which I will be talking about, which we'll be talking about later. But anyway, we'll see what happens. Will Scott Dixon win the Indy 500? Or will it be another fresh face like last year? Alexander Rossi taking the Borg Warner trophy and drinking the milk. So we'll just have to wait and see. I'm not going to make a prediction on that because it's a hard race to judge. But you would think one of the usual suspects. I mean, Tony Kanaan, who just won it not too long ago, has been hoping to win it forever. I think the max that anybody's ever won it was tied by first A.J. Foyt, Rick Mears, and the two that comes to mind. So we'll just have to wait and see. A lot of fanfare, a lot of racing to watch this weekend. NHRA in action now at Topeka with the Menards Heartland Nationals, presented by Minties. Antron Brown taking the event over Steve Torrance, who was looking to win a few in a row. Some really, really crazy times and speeds. speed records were set. Especially in the funny car division, they were running faster than the top fuelers. Low ET of the weekend was Antron Brown at a 369 with a 1. I mean, it's almost, that's at the 3.5 second mark, just a little over. Best reaction time was Torrance with an 018 with funny car. Those are pro stock reaction times, and pro stock and a pro stock bike are always a lot quicker. I guess it's from the time you tromp the pedal to the time the car actually leaves off the starting gate is the reaction time. Top speed, Brittany Force in the top fuel division was 333.66. Brittany making it to round two before falling to the eventual finalist, Steve Torrance. Leah Pritchett, who was looking to get back on the winning ways, up against Antron Brown in the semifinals. That was, you know, she's one tough cookie this year, so you got to watch her. They're teammates. So she was the number two qualifier. Antron Brown was the number three. They had a. Here was the difference. The reaction time for Brown was 060. Leah was a 111. He beat her with a 371 with a 5. She had a 371 with an 8. Now, the gap was a lot longer than the time is showing just because of that reaction time, which was just about half. So you figure he got that further up. Had she made it and crossed the line first, or had he had a slower ET, it would have been a whole shot win, and there was a few of those going on as well. Heartland with a lot of national speed records. Were not actually broken this past weekend. They were tied, especially in the funny car division. So let's move on over to that. Courtney Forrest came crazy in that round, but so was Robert Height. Courtney Forson, number two qualifier, she did not make it to the finals. She lost in the round two to Ron Capps, who was looking on his quest to win four events in a row. But Courtney Forson and Rob Height both had times, a speed of 338 miles per hour. Her round one win was at a 382, and that a year ago was a top fuel number. 338.68 miles an hour, where her teammate, Robert Height, had a round one. He qualified number three. He had 338.09. He had a 383 with a 3 ET. So the John Force team, you would think, the way they were running, would clean up. John Force went up against Bob Tasca. Bob Tasca with a whole shot win. He had a 393 with an O. John Force is 390 with a 7. But an 028 out of the off the light for Tasca sent him against Robert Height, who ended up dispatching Tasca when they all drove Fords. Used to be like an underling for Force, because I always saw Tasca's name on the front of Force's Castrol Mustang. But Rob Height, another quick one, and he, you know, off the line at a 055, not bad for a funny car. 389 with a 5 in round 2 with a 332 mile an hour. Semifinals against Caps, though, didn't get it done. Caps wins, 390 at a 323 mile an hour. Moving to the finals against Matt Hagen, his teammate out of the Schumacher camp there. A couple of Dodges. Hagen, not so bad himself. 385 with a 2. Pretty quick when you're talking 380s. In a funny car, that's unreal times. Temperatures were conducive for the high, low ETs and the high speeds. But in the end, it was Matt Hagen against Ronnie Capps with Wait for it. Ronnie Capps takes the win. In the finals, it is 392 of the four. Reaction times are the same in 054 for Capps, 057. 398 with a 5 for Hagen. Hagen from not too far from me in Christiansburg, Virginia. It's only about an hour drive. So, the Virginia native falls a little short to Ronnie Capps, who does take his fourth event win in a row. That's pretty impressive. Best reaction time of the weekend on the, I guess, Sunday, because that's everything. Everything I see here is off of Sunday's 0:28 for Bob Tasca. Lowest ET of the final event was a 3:82, and that was Courtney Force. Top speed, also owned by Courtney. In that same round with a 338 mile an hour and 1,000 foot. Amazing. Anyway, off to the old pro stockos. Final comes down to Elite Motorsports driver Jed Coughlin and young rookie Tanner Gray. Gray had had to go through some Drew Skillman, a tough competitor. Greg Anderson, Vincent Nobile. Jeg had to go through Derek Kramer, Alan Johnson, and Bo Butner. Butner has been on a roll of late. But when it came down to it, Jed Coughlin, red light. Negative 0:51. Tanner Gray with an 0:24 takes the Wally. Lowest DT of the event was Tanner Gray with a 6:55 with a 3. I think that was done in round one. And the top speed, Jason Line at a 211. Best reaction time, though, was Jed Coughlin. With an almost perfect light at a 001. Let's go to the standings real quick. Leah Pritchett on top. 30 points over Steve Torrance, who made it to the finals, losing to Antron Brown, who is in the third spot. He's 41 back. We'll get down to a quick series there because we're going to be... Ron Capps has a 119-point lead over teammate Matt Hagen. John Force bowing out in round one, 224 back. In pro stock, Bo Butner takes a points lead over Greg Anderson. Greg Anderson bowing out a couple rounds early to town at Tanner Gray. That adds Bo Butner to move to the top spot. Tanner Gray... with the win, is in third. He's 60 points back. In NASCAR, we have the Camping World Truck Series event on Friday. Kyle Busch win both stages. Led three times for 90 laps to take the win. Johnny Sauter was second. Christopher Bell third. Ryan Truex fourth. So no... Truck Series regulars took the win. Kyle Busch with the win. This is 48th Camping World Truck Series victory. There were 9 cautions for 38 laps, 10 lead changes amongst 8 drivers. In your Truck Series right now, Christopher Bell, Kaz Grala, Truck Series guys with the wins lead the Field of 8 playoff run at the time, followed by Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, Chase Briscoe, Ben Rhodes, Tim Peters. Story about that. Red Horse Racing closing down Due to lack of funding, Tim Peters drives for them. Grant Enfinger is in the eighth spot. Tim Peters, who has won a championship and was in the top 10 in points. Like I said, top 8 in points because he's in the playoff run, and the Truck Series only has 8 that go to the playoffs. So he'll be looking for a ride because, you know, and if I was a truck team, I'd pick him up because he's that good. When you have a past champion, it's always good to pick him up. This weekend, Xfinity Series comes back on Saturday. Off this weekend, the Truck Series and the Xfinity Series, with the Truck Series getting the open for the All-Star race and the Xfinity for the Coke 600. But anyway, in the All-Star race, they had stages. In the open, three of those guys that won the stages moved on. Which is Daniel Suarez, Ryan Blaney, and I'm trying to remember the other one. Let me go see. Elliott was voted in. They had one fan vote. But in the end, what looked like a runaway came down to a final restart with a few laps to go. Kyle Busch and Jimmy Johnson. Johnson and Keselowski were on the front row. Keselowski had to stay up due to screwing up his tire issue. And they had a softer compound, one-use tire that they could choose to use at any time. But being they already used them and they were out of tires, he had to stay out. Jimmy Johnson on the outside, the front row, Kyle Busch on the inside, second row. As they came down into turn one, Kyle Busch was able to take it 3 wide down low and get past Keselowski and Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson went back to second. Kyle Busch wound up holding on for the win. It was his first ever All-Star race win. And his first Monster Energy Cup Series win at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. So we'll see what happens in the Coke 600 to see if he can get his first ever Points Cup win at Charlotte. Last year, it was done by Martin Truex in a dominating fashion. New Jersey's own one led 392 of the 400 laps. So we'll see if Martin can do that this year. Right now, I'd like to switch on over for not this weekend, but the first weekend of June. And at the first weekend of June, back to its original date after the Coke 600. I hate when they shuffle the race there to before the 600. Joining me from the Monster Mile, Communications Manager Mike Lewis. Mike, welcome back to Garage Talk Live. It's going to get fun in a couple weeks.
Hi, Vince. I appreciate you having me. We're very excited for our races coming up June 2nd through 4th.
I know. It's like, it was always a fixture. The first weekend after the Coke 600, all three series, Truck Series, Xfinity, and Cup, would all head to the Monster. Then they shuffled it around. Last year, I think it was before the Coke 600, and they've done that a couple times before, but it kind of throws everything off because, for me, I was always used to having that long weekend of a Memorial Day and then having another long weekend at Dover right after to cover the festivities down there.
Yeah, through the years, we've had several dates, but through the 90s and most of the 2000s, we were pretty solid there for that first weekend of June, the first race after the 600. Now with new tracks on the circuit and the calendar sometimes falls differently. The NASCAR is forced to change things up, but yes, we're pleased to be back in our traditional home of June 2nd through 4th, and in the fall, we're once again the last weekend of September. We're the third race in the playoffs this year, and once again, will be the first elimination race for the playoffs. So,
yeah, that's always a good thing when you have a key race like that. Prior to being moved to the third race in the Chase/playoffs, whatever they want to call it these days, it's new title series sponsor. They change things around. And it was always the second race in the Chase. But being they moved it to the third gave it a little more distinction to being the first round, the first eliminator race in the series, going from the round of 16 to 12. So it makes it that much more involved for the track. And, you know, everybody likes to. It's one of the few, and Dover is also one of the few tracks to have a distinct trophy. Miles the Monster holding the car.
Yes, we're very proud of our trophy. Every year around this time, the shows will ask, "What's your favorite trophy?" And it usually comes down to Miles the Monster against the Grandfather Clock from Martinsville. And we're pleased to see that the Monster usually holds its own against the Grandfather Clock. And speaking of the Chase, we've had the second race in the Chase when it first was implemented, and then since eliminations began, I believe we've always been the first track to host an elimination race. So we're very excited about that, and we're one of the few tracks that can say that we've been a Chase track for the whole history of the Chase, which dates back to 2004, I believe. So we're very excited about that as well.
Yes, it was back when I think Sprint took it over from Nextel, which they bought out Nextel. I think it was basically, they didn't have any eliminations then, but the top 10 drivers competed that were separated from the rest of the field and went there. Of course, now with the playoff, the elimination version, they added 16, and criteria to make it is a little different. This year, the racing's changed for all three series in Dover, I guess. Has to make the adjustment with the stages. They had it last year, I guess, in the Xfinity for the Dash for Cash, so they decided to adopt it for all three series, and might make it a little interesting bunching up the field at the Monster Mile. You know how things happen quickly there, so it should be pretty interesting to how things are going to shake out for the whole weekend.
Yes, we're anxious to see how the Dover debut of stage races affect how the drivers strategize for the race. For the Truck Series race, the stages are going to be 45 laps, and then a 110-lap dash to the end. For the Xfinity Series race, it's 60 laps, and then 80. And then for the Cup Series race, we have a 120, 120, and then 160. The final segment is 160 laps. So in Dover, as your listeners know, we have a tendency to have some big wrecks, but we also have if a car is really strong and the field gets us separated, we have some long green flag runs where a driver that I heard you a couple minutes before talking about, Martin Truex, in the fall here, he kind of ran away from the field to win the Citizen Soldier 400 that we hosted. He led the last 187 laps of that event and just pulled away for a big victory. Now with the stage races, that should prevent somebody from getting out to a 10-15 second lead. So it should change some strategies, and we'll see how many drivers risk staying out or how many feel they're forced to come into the pits and give up some valuable track position even though they may not want to. Just seeing how the race is playing out, and we're anxious to see how that develops here at the Monster Mile.
Yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting, especially those long green flag stretches when they run in between the first and last 100 laps. And what I always thought about the Chase racing or the stage racing is it should take the fuel mileage out of the equation, but when you have a long enough, 160-mile stretch, that still can come into play at the end and might cause people to have changed their pit strategy overall, because the way the monster mile set up, if you can get out in that clean air, you can still catch the back end of traffic pretty quick and still have to fight your way through that. So it just the way the track's set up and the banking and the speeds, a lot of strategy still comes into play. I would have liked to have thought maybe if they made the last stages a little closer towards the end and take fuel mileage out, then everybody would be racing hard. And you might have to throw a red flag to clean up some mess, but the fans would be excited.
Yeah, well, when the stages were first announced and developed, NASCAR worked with looked at past track history as far as fuel mileages and developed the stages around the bases where teams should be able to should be forced to pit at least one time if it stayed green flag conditions. Now, I don't think I haven't watched every second of every race this year, but I don't think we've had a full. There's been very few full green flag runs. There's usually a caution before the stage cautions, is what I'm saying. So usually the fuel mileage doesn't really come into play, but we'll see how it plays out in Dover here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I think you're right there. And it's just weird how they have a caution before the stage caution, which I don't know. I'm still getting feedback on people that like it and people that don't like it. So I'm the kind of tendency. You always get the purists that say leave it as it is. And, of course, the stage cautions add some time to the total event because everybody has to slow down, come into the pits, and then line up the way they come out and then back at it. But for a while there, the way the races were going, I interviewed Kenny Wallace right there at the Monster Mile, and the way, they were getting some long green flag and, I tend to say the word boring, and we talked about maybe they should put it in an intermission at the halfway point to change things up. So I guess what evolved from that is stage racing.
Yeah, we've heard the, positives and negatives from the fans. A couple of the positives is your favorite driver can be leading 300 laps of an event and have a part go bad, just like Jimmy Johnson did a couple years ago in the chase when he was eliminated, and have a bad points day. Now, if he's done well in the stages, he at least has a decent points day to show for having a very good car for three quarters of the event. And another thing with the stages, it allows families or anybody really to be able to plan ahead to, hey, I'm going to run down to get another hot dog or Coke or visit the restroom at this lap. I know that's going to be a caution. I don't have to risk going down there and missing something during green flag lap. So there's positives to it as well. And I think NASCAR's making NASCAR's innovations are trying different innovations, and we'll see how at the end of the season when the playoff points come together, we'll see how it shakes out in terms of awarding a championship. So we're not even a third of the way through the season, so I think we should let it play out for a little bit longer at least.
Yeah, I always like to say give it a year or two, because when they first went from the straight up Daytona 500 to Homestead, run without a chase, the old school way, it tended to get people say it should be like that, but when they came out with the chase, it was like, well, let's see how this goes. And personally, I think now with the elimination factor, that makes it a lot more interesting. So, and I know a few drivers that I've talked to that kind of like that as well. So it's just going to be pretty interesting to go how it turns out at the end of this year with what they call championship points and playoff points that you can earn by winning a stage, and it might keep somebody from getting bumped out of the elimination, especially going into the Monster Mile if they're at the bottom end of the food chain in the playoff standings.
Right. At the end of the day, the system still rewards consistency. It rewards strong teams. It rewards being up front for the majority of the time, and it rewards races, and that's something that the fans have been clamoring for forever. So just maybe putting more emphasis on victory. So nobody can say there's not an emphasis on winning. And when we've had drivers into our area for some various appearances this spring, they've all been unanimous in saying that the racing throughout the field is as hard as it's ever been, especially if they're battling for that, you know, 9th, 10th spot in the stages, that those precious points can mean the difference between being eliminated or advancing on into the playoffs once they begin. So the racing is as hard as ever, and again, consistency matters.
That's for sure. And a few things that are going on at the Monster Mile for the upcoming weekend. I noticed you're having some new food trucks come in there to take care of the fans outside of the track by the fan zone. That looked like a pretty interesting group of trucks that you got coming in there.
Yeah, we have several favorites from the region, providing a range of options from pizza to sandwiches to rice bowls and subs and things of that nature. And we're also offering some new dishes in our regular concession stands within the track, such as beef and cheddar sandwiches and some Monster Crunch, which is a fried product there that comes in a couple different flavors. So it's just providing some more choices for the fans rather than the traditional hot dogs and hamburgers, which will of course be there as well. So it should provide some nice choices for the fans.
Yeah, I was just looking at all that pulled pork loaded fries. That sounds yummy.
A friend of mine said he gained 4 pounds reading the release. So I said, just hold off and wait till he gets here to try it. So.
And then some of the trucks, I don't give a fork. And my four sons is pretty Wild Witch is a pretty catchy names for those vehicles. And
yeah, it's hard to go to. A festival now for the weekend during the weekends or anywhere. And not see at least a food truck or two, so we're just trying to, enhance the experience for our fans and give them something that they're used to seeing in their other weekend trips when they come out to the track.
That's for sure, and of course, I guess tickets are still available for the big weekend where we can go to 1-800-441-RACE, old school, make a call, or go online to DoverSpeedway.com and you can buy your tickets there. What kind of neat, interesting packages we have that they could still, the listeners and fans can still get in for.
Absolutely. We have a Jimmy Johnson Q&A actually on the track prior to the Sunday, June 4th, AAA 400 Drive for Autism. People, ticket holders for that can actually get on the track and listen to a Q&A with the 7-time champion Jimmy Johnson, and they also get 2 tickets to the race with that package. So that's a great deal. And again, they can go on DoverSpeedway.com or, like you said, 800-441-RACE to order. We also have the One Main Financial 200 NASCAR Xfinity Series race on Saturday, and on Friday afternoon we have the Bar Harbor 200. Presented by a Sea Watch International NASCAR Camping World Truck Series race on Friday, June the 2nd.
Ah, Sea Watch. That's Marty and Ryan Truex's dad's company. I guess they're going to be having some nice seafood selection in the media center this year.
I actually haven't seen the media center menu yet, but it wouldn't surprise me. But yes, Martin Truex and Ryan Truex are fan favorites here. They consider Dover their home track, and both are having great success this year. I saw Ryan had another top 10 finish in the Truck Series race at Charlotte a couple days ago, and Martin, of course, is our defending fall race champion here, and it's had just a wonderful string of success with Furniture Row Racing and his team.
I know. Is Martin Truex's first ever Cup Series win came at the Monster Mile in a June race. Catherine Bell, the actress, was the grand marshal, and the race got rained out and had to be postponed till Monday. And It was great for him, but bad for us. They had to get back to work the next day because I had a show to do Monday night from the station. So I had to head all the way back north and couldn't make it back down for the race. But I did get some fine audio from the track, and we did talk about the event that happened earlier that day that on the Monday night show. So I had to move things to Tuesday in case of rain out. So.
Yes, that race, that with all the weather issues we've dealt with in the past, on the past couple of years, that's still the only race that's been moved from only Cup Series race that's been moved from a Sunday to a Monday in the history of the track. And if you'll remember, that's also the day that Bill France Jr. Passed away. So that was a sad day at the track, but it was a great win for Martin to get his first victory there at the Monster Mile at what he considers his home track, and he followed that up with a second win last fall.
And I'm sure he's got more to come under his belt. Look for him to run real well. He went from a Chevy to a Toyota this year, which is pretty much Joe Gibbs equipment. So Toyotas do exceptionally well at the Monster Mile, so I wouldn't be surprised if he took home another one. But if I had to pick for Dover, I can't go against Jimmy Johnson, no matter what kind of year he's running. That he's got the most wins ever at the Monster Mile, so he's one guy I usually don't go against, even if I look pretty foolish on Monday. You know, and he doesn't win, but he's probably one of the top picks you can go with. And right now, I think Truex would have to be second.
Yeah, Jimmy Johnson, he hasn't won in three races here, which is a pretty long drought for him, considering he's won 10 times here at Dover, and I believe the next active leader among drivers that are racing now is three wins here. So he's got a pretty big gap on the field there. But, you know, just like anybody else, he's not immune from some bad luck. As I mentioned, he was in the chase here 2 years ago in 2015, and he had a $5 part break on him, and it cost him a chance at the championship. And he just the other one race last year, he was leading again, and they had a penalty on pit road and got him a lap down, and he wasn't able to recover in time to get back up to the top leader. So you really never know. I mean, you can have all the favorites you want, you know, all the momentum coming in, but it takes a total team effort, and yet need some good luck as well to come away with the Monster Trophy.
Well, that's for sure. Okay, this year, singing the national anthem on Sunday is a young, I guess, country singer, Cassidy Daniels. How do you round up all this talent for the Monster Mile?
Well, I can assure you that it's not just me involved. We have a great operations and event planning team here, and we're one of the three independent tracks on the circuit, so we don't have all the resources that some of the other tracks have, but we do a great job with offering the various entertainment options. And we were just able to announce Cassidy Daniels today as the national anthem singer, and we also have Chase Bryant, country music star, performing a free concert at our AAA stage at Victory Plaza on Sunday morning before the race. And on Saturday morning, we have another country music star, Brandon Ray, going to be singing a free concert out there as well. So it's just different options for people to come out and see. And there's one other addition I wanted to mention before we get off here. Our fan zone is actually going to be the host of an International Drone Racing Association competition throughout all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. IDRA is its moniker there, and it's the only United States event in their circuit, and it's right here at Dover Downs, or Dover International Speedway. And we're looking forward to hosting that. They have 6 or 7 stops throughout the world this year, and their only United States stop is right here in Dover, and we're making an investment in a course for them to do their to have their competition. We have a dozen teams from all over the world coming here to Dover to compete. So if you don't get enough auto racing inside the track, you can come outside the track and watch the drones race as well.
There would be a lot of looking up to catch that activity, but I thought it would be pretty interesting. That's good to hear. And, of course, The other thing happened in between races at the Monster Mile Complex, we'll call it, is the Firefly Music Festival, which has turned into a big thing because I even hear advertisement for it down in this area of Virginia. So, and I'm in the far southern corner, right along just before the Tennessee border. So you can tell that thing is taking off real well.
We have ticket holders from every state that come here. This year, the Firefly Music Festival is June 15th through 18th. So it's just 2 weeks after our first NASCAR weekend of the year concludes. And Firefly, believe it or not, is in its sixth year now. We've had acts such as Paul McCartney and the Red Hot Chili Peppers come through here. And this year, our headliners include Bob Dylan and The Weeknd and Chance the Rapper and Muse. And should be another great turnout. We have at least, I believe at last count, we had over 125 artists coming, and they'll be playing in various areas around the around our complex for 4 days. And it's really turned into something very special for us. June, needless to say, is a busy month around here, but it's very special to see all these people congregating in one little corner of Kent County, Delaware for all these great events.
That's for sure. They ought to call it Monster Stop, change it from Firefly.
we'll have to talk to Red Frog Events about that. They're the ones putting it on, but they've been great friends to us, and we're happy when they scouted out at least 70 locations across the country and before they decided on settling here in Dover, and when they saw the accommodations that we had already on site, that, you know, the most of the stages are set up where our campers congregate for the weekend. So we already had all the amenities, the space cleared and things of that nature. And we're, you know, used to hosting more than 100,000 people in a weekend. So that was something that they were very attracted to, and we're glad they chose us.
Well, that's great. And, anything that helps the economy in the central Delaware area, of course, Dover being the state capital, you have a Dover Air Force Base and all that nearby. So there's really a lot that happens in Dover, and it's good because it's a nice area where you could draw fans for the races from, I guess, both north, south, east, and west. And it's a different style of track.
Yeah, there is no other track in NASCAR like Dover. That's a 1 mile concrete oval. The banking is 24 degrees in the corners and 9 degrees in the straightaway. So even when they're driving straight, they're still at an angle. And the drivers always say the sensation of speed that they get in Dover just because of the features of the track is as fast or faster than anywhere else on the circuit. And you were mentioning our fans. We had our last ticket breakdown. We saw that we only get a little more than 10% of our fans come from Delaware. So we absolutely, being such a small state, so we absolutely rely on Maryland, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Virginia, the whole Mid-Atlantic region, and up and down the East Coast, and even Canada, to come down. And we have loyal fans from all those areas to come to the. Come to Dover and the Monster Mile. It's become a tradition for everybody. And June 2nd through 4th, they can call 800-441-RACE or visit doverspeedway.com to snatch up some last-minute tickets.
And they get to see all three big touring series, the Trucks, Xfinity, and the Cup, at the same weekend. So you couldn't ask for better racing at a better place. Mike Lewis, thank you again for joining me, and have fun in a couple of weeks. I know next week's going to be busy. That's why I try to get you on like this week instead of next week, because I know what goes in, what you guys do down there, having been down to the track from, I guess, 1999 through 2011, every race. So being I moved out of there, it's a special trip to get up that way, but I will come back to visit you guys in person. Tell Gary I said hi, and nice of him becoming the vice president. So that's pretty cool.
I I will certainly convey those wishes, and we thank you, Vince, for your passion and your dedication to the sport, and we thank you for having us on, and if there's anything we can do, just let us know.
All righty. Take care, Mike, and we'll be talking again, especially leading up to that elimination race in September.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Bye now. There you have Mike Lewis, communications manager for Dover International Speedway, the Monster Mile, my old home track. You know, since I've come down here, I haven't had a home track. I got three in my area. Everybody says Bristol or Martinsville. Martinsville, nice and cozy. I think I might try to move that one. But, you know, going to Dover, it's would be something special. I could actually do a show from up there, just bring my trusty laptop and mixer and a little fun box there, and they could prop me up with the little section in the media center where I could tap into the web, or I could just pre-record it and put it up as a podcast. I think that would even be easier. But anyway, going into the Coke 600, we'll have to get ready real quick and make a pick. Like I said, this last year, Martin Truex Jr. spanked the field. Led five times for 392 laps. They only run 400. That's a lot of miles. I think that had to be a record for leading the most miles at the track in that race. So, it was only his fourth career victory and in that one. Of course, he's won two since then. He's won more since then. Of course, two this year as well. So, he seems to be having fun, and that's good to know that he has a shot at it. I would pick him over Jimmy Johnson if Jimmy Johnson wasn't running that, but usually at Dover, I got to go with Jimmy Johnson. Speaking of Jimmy Johnson, now no stranger to victory lane at the Charlotte Motor Speedway either, especially when they were called the Lowe's Motor Speedway. So you got Harvick, Johnson, Truex, Hamlin, Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Kenseth. And you know what? Considering Truex also started from the pole last year. Oh, he did drive a Toyota last year, so it was my bad on that one. I thought he was in the Chevy last year. He went to the Toyota this year. So, you know what? I'm going to go with Marty again this year. This way I could pick Johnson for Dover. If not, I was going to do it the other way around. But we'll go with Martin Truex for the Coke 600. And thanks to my guest, Mike Lewis from Dover, talking about the Monster Mile, all the fun stuff going on, new food items, food trucks and things like that, and food items indoors. Actually, the indoor one, that kind of piqued my interest. The pulled pork loaded fries. Jalapenos, barbecue sauces, Carolina, Texas, or Kansas City. Then to be found at the Cheesy Pig stands. They got different stands for all this different food. There's the Monster Mash stand, Gate 4, the Cheesy Pig stand outside of Gate 2. Taco Taco for walking tacos outside of Gate 2. So, and then the food trucks outside and near the fan zone area. Next year, they'll be coming back with the souvenir trucks. But they got DC Slices, the Hungry Spork. I Don't Give a Fork. That one's an eye catcher there. My Four Sons and Wild Witch. That might be good. Gourmet sandwiches, including jerk chicken, hickory smoked pulled pork, and turkey meatball. All right, they lost me on that turkey meatball. But being Italian, I don't do turkey meatballs. Anyway, that's our show for today. Going to be a fun Memorial Day weekend. I'll be busy watching cars go around the track from 11 a.m. till probably midnight when the Coke 600 gets over. Indy 500 kicking off at 11 on ABC. Coke 600 on, let me get to the actual, on Fox, regular Fox, Sunday night. So if you were planning on watching The Simpsons and things like that, forget about it. 6 p.m. for the Coke 600, so that should be over by midnight. Anyway, I'm your host, Vince Bonfigli. We'll see you all next week. Good day. Have a safe Memorial Day weekend. Everybody enjoy it. And good racing. Bye now.